Greetings and welcome once again to the American Forum. Although our studio is air-conditioned today, I have a very strong feeling that our participants in today's forum will forget about the air conditioning and give us a good, heated program, one that you'll find stimulating and very enjoyable. And our guests today are Congressman Francis E. Walter, Representative from Pennsylvania, Democrat from Pennsylvania, and Chairman of the House Un-American Activities Committee. Congressman, do you have an opening question for us?
Mr. Wessler, in 1953, in April, I believe it was, in testifying before a Senate committee, you testified that it's a citizen's responsibility to testify before a congressional committee, whether he likes that committee or not. Are you still of that opinion?
Well, we're not going to give Mr. Wexler a chance to answer right now, but we're going to give Mr. James A. Wexler, editor of the New York Post, a chance to throw out an opening question to you, Congressman Walter.
Congressman, I think that perhaps the most interesting question that we can debate is the subject of the scope of congressional inquiry. I was interested in the news this week that your committee was preparing to question the mother of a midshipman who had been denied his naval commission because it turned out that his mother had once been a communist. Now, what I wonder in light of this is, what do you believe are the proper limits, if any, on the scope of a congressional inquiry into this very explosive and delicate realm of political belief and association?
Well, before we let the program get too explosive, I'd just like to say to our audience that on Monday, Congressman Walter is taking his House Un-American Activities Committee to New York City, where they're going to begin an investigation of communist infiltration into theater. And like many House Un-American Activities Committee investigations before, this one has caused much controversy and debate. And as you can see from the very start of our program, our guests today are on practically opposite sides of the poll about this debating question of whether House Un-American Activities Committees are abusing our constitutional privileges. Let's begin the ball rolling, Congressman, with your answer to Mr. Wexler's leading question.
Well, of course, the fact that the mother of this boy immediately contacted you when an investigator of the Committee on Un-American Activities called on her indicates to me that she is seeking some sort of public support and sympathy principally. Now, I feel very sorry for the young man who was denied a commission. On the other hand, the security of the United States is of greater importance than any possible harm that could come to an individual. Bearing in mind the fact that young naval officers are in a position to learn things that might be of great detriment to the United States if passed on, even innocently, by this boy to his mother, who in turn might talk about these things to her old-time friends. It seems to me that it's important to ascertain whether or not this woman really departed from the views that she had, not for a short time, but for over 10 years, as recently as 7 years ago.
Mr. Wexler.
Well, guys, we'll get back to that, but I'll get back to your question first. You have quoted me correctly. I wrote that in the context of a situation where I believe that an attempt was being made to make silence proof of guilt. I think that attempt is still being made. I want to say that I made a personal and individual decision because I have great confidence in the good judgment and sense of the American people. And I believe that at that time, when I was in a controversy with Senator McCarthy, I did not want in any way to seem to be trying to hide anything or to be at all reluctant about fighting the matter out. But I want to add to that, Congressman, that I happen to have the fortunate position of being a newspaper editor. And while I think I exercised my responsibility in the right way then, I can understand the reasons why many other citizens might, for good reasons as well as bad, not follow the course that I did. And I think that brings us to the issue that we ought to get to later as to whether you believe that the mere invocation of a constitutional privilege is proof of a man's guilt. I think that's a very tough issue, and I think we ought to argue about that at some length, much as I think these are matters of individual decision for each man's conscience and a given situation. Let me just add on this that I think we've reached the point where a man's willingness not merely to testify about himself, but about others, has become the key test of patriotism. And I think that is a test on which none of us want to pass dogmatic judgment on our fellow citizens. National.
Why don't you go on and answer the question about the Landy case, which Mr. Congressman Walter brought up immediately.
With regard to the Landy matter, I think that defines our issue very sharply. You are saying that because young Landy had the misfortune to choose the wrong mother, that he is in a position where he may be denied the chance to serve his country, a chance which he has sought and for which I assume he would deserve our respect. You are saying, furthermore, that if his mother can't prove herself to be a woman of total political virtue, that this boy is barred from our society, branded, excluded from the role which he is seeking in life, which is to serve his country. And I think this goes to the very heart of what we mean by un-American activity, Congressman. I think this is a deep issue where guilt by association with one's mother becomes the determining factor in ruining a man's life.
Well, of course, that's the kind of an answer I expected from you. But actually, you put words in my mouth. I haven't said any of the things that you have indicated I said. Now, of course, the boy didn't have the misfortune, or had the misfortune, as you put it, of selecting the wrong mother. That isn't what I said at all. What I am saying is this.
Well, I was kidding.
No, you weren't kidding. You, at least you were kidding in earnest. But what I am saying is this, that before this boy is placed in a position where he can learn the kind of secrets which in the hands of an enemy might mean the destruction of a ship even, it ought to be ascertained whether or not his mother did actually separate herself from the conspiracy to overthrow this government of which she admittedly was a part.
But aren't you saying, Len, that assuming the worst about his mother,
yes,
that the only way that this young man can win his place in our society is by repudiating his mother, by leaving home, denouncing her in a public statement, and swearing never to talk to mother again?
No, I'm
and
not
I say
saying
this
anything
is
of the sort.
Utterly inconsistent with what we think of in America as good human conduct.
Well, I'm not saying anything of the sort. What I am saying is that maybe the young man would be better off, could render a greater service to his fellow countrymen in some place other than where he would have access to secrets, to military secrets. That's what I'm saying. Well, now, nobody has a commission in the armed services as a matter of right. The unfortunate part of all this is that the boy wasn't screened before he was permitted to enter the school. I'm sure that if he had been screened, an effort would have been made to ascertain whether or not his mother was still a member of this conspiracy.
Well, I don't want you to again accuse me of putting words in your mouth, but I say that again your position comes down to the fact that in your view this boy is to be condemned and is to be denied his commission solely because of the alleged politics of his mother. And I assume you'll leave this open since she has not been investigated.
Well, she hasn't been investigated because she wouldn't accept the invitation extended to her by an investigator to talk to this investigator. And actually, whatever publicity came from that came from her because the investigator didn't tell anybody that she had talked with Mrs. Landry.
The position, as I understand it, that she took was that she did not want her son's case to be confused with her own, and that she wished to delay her testimony until the appeal and his commission had been decided. I do not think it fair to say that she has refused to testify. I just want to say this.
Gentlemen, let me make a suggestion before we go any further on the Landy case. There are so many other issues that are pending, especially the investigation that Congressman Walters' committee is going to begin on Monday. Mr. Wexler, do you have a specific question about the investigation into theater in New York?
Well, I think this perhaps goes somewhere in the same realm of the scope of inquiry. I'd like to ask the Congressman how he feels that the committee is adding to our national security by establishing, as it may or may not, and we leave it open because he knows what's going to come out and I don't, that, to take an example, a Broadway comedian was once a communist. Now, again, this goes to the scope. What are we, what national security are we protecting in that realm? And do you really take the view that your committee now has the total field of America to explore, that any American, whatever his occupation, whatever his field of earning, may be in effect called before your committee and tried
Well, in the first place, nobody has ever tried. The committee does not conduct trials. It conducts inquiries. And as the Supreme Court has said, Congress not only has the responsibility, but the actual duty to determine what activities there are in this nation that might affect its security. And to wait until there's an overt act, to wait until there's some action of some sort, is too late. It's a duty imposed on the committee to determine just what these people have been doing while they have been party to this international conspiracy. Now, you take the comedian that you talk about, it sounds innocent enough. But if that man was a member of the Communist Party, then he has contributed hundreds, no, thousands of dollars of his earnings to the communist cause. And it is our duty to ascertain what has been done with that money, how it has been spent in the furtherance of subjugating our people to a foreign dictatorship.
Well, now let me get this clear. When this man presumably gave this money, it was not a crime to contribute to the Communist Party. Aren't you now retroactively bringing this man before a tribunal and trying him for this offense? And, sir, I must say I think this is a trial, because I'm sure you agree with me that if this man should fail to win your committee's approval at the end of this hearing, you have as effectively doomed him as if he had been sentenced by any court anywhere in the land. I think you'll certainly agree with me that the consequence of an adverse verdict by your committee on any individual means economic death to the individual involved.
Well, let me repeat again that there's no verdict reached by this committee at all. We pass no judgment. We listen to the testimony. At least we hope there will be testimony from these people. And that's why my first question to you was with respect to the responsibility of a citizen to answer questions propounded by a committee, even if that person doesn't like the committee. Now, in that connection, I want to say this to you. This particular inquiry that we will engage in New York comes as a result of many months of exploratory work. Investigators were working on this long before I became chairman of this committee. And we are now bringing to a conclusion the work thus done. I am quite certain that, with few exceptions, nobody has ever been called to testify before the Committee on Un-American Activities unless it is known definitely that that person is or has been an active member of the Communist Party. And the reason why those people are called is because we hope that at some time or other there will be people who were members of the Young Communist League and other communist organizations who have seen the light, and they will come forward and tell us so that the naive people in this country...
May I inject a question? Do you then look at the investigations as a warning to people who might fall into the same grasp?
Well, but now let me show you as a practical... Yes, is the answer, but let me show you as a practical matter how that works. And I'm sure that you will agree with me that the hearings we held, or that were held last week by the committee in the so-called Rosenberg matter... were very profitable in this, that we spotlighted the thousands of dollars, I think the amount was $308,000 plus, that was raised by that committee ostensibly to aid the Rosenbergs. Well, actually, much of it went into the hands of people who were nothing but card-carrying communists, hard-boiled communist politicians. They were the people that benefited. Now, that same operation is going to be continued on behalf, and has been, on behalf of this man, Sobel, who, as you know, was convicted at the same time. Now, this group did intend to try to raise more money for him. Actually, very little of the money would ever inure to any benefit that he might derive.
Well, Congressman, I think that... it's very likely to be true. The difficulty in my mind is that by these repeated exposures of what seems to me to be quite well known to Americans by now, we are tending to impose new pressures toward non-activity on the part of Americans in perfectly good causes. Now, some men are going to be convicted wrongly in our courts. There are going to be appeals. There are going to be fights in their behalf. And I wonder if Our real question is whether the balance isn't on the side of having maximum freedom in our society rather than the constant reiteration of facts known which tend to create a sense of reluctance to participate in political and public life. I think that's what our real problem is. I happen to feel strongly that the communist problem in the world today is essentially a world problem, a problem of a great thrust among backward and poor peoples all over the world. And I can't help feeling that when we as a nation have a total diversion with the question of a handful of actors and what their political past may have been, that we are giving ourselves sort of the luxury of a public performance, but that it has less and less to do with the real problems we face in the world. And that's why I again go back to the question of where does this end on your part? The American people have certainly learned a lot about communism. They learned it in an open democratic way. They learned it when the communists supported supported the communist aggression in Korea. They learned it in every conceivable way. What is the new and devastating information that is brought to the country's attention by performances which may, incidentally, injure a few people who shouldn't get hurt?
Well, I just don't like your talking about performances. We don't conduct performances. If we did, we would have this show, and as you put it, in New York, and television and radio, so that it's not a performance. Now, as to the people being deterred from taking part in good causes, I am sure that the people in 19 countries, which are today behind the Iron Curtain, talk just the way you did before they were subjugated. Actually, there hasn't been a conquest except through this sort of operation that we know is going on in the United States today. No popular vote. These 19 nations are all behind the Iron Curtain because a very small minority of well-organized people were able to gain control of their governments. And it's only because of the Committee on Un-American Activities and other committees of the sort that the people in America have been made aware that the same thing is happening here that happened in Czechoslovakia and all these other countries.
Before we go too far abroad, let me bring you back to New York just for a second with this question for you, Congressman, and then, Mr. Wexler, you can follow up. AFTRA, the theatrical union, has taken a resolution which declares that any actor who appears before your committee and who does not answer on the grounds of the Fifth Amendment will be blacklisted by AFTRA. I wanted to get your reaction to that resolution.
Well, I don't know anything about it. It's the first time I knew that there was such action. But earlier, Mr. Wexler said that people should not be judged as being guilty because they invoked the privilege of the Fifth Amendment to the very Constitution, which most of them would destroy if they could. Now, I agree with that. I'm quite certain that nobody in this land would say that John Lewis was a communist. But John Lewis wouldn't take the non-communist oath. And there are people of that sort. But most of the people, 99% and more of the people who invoked the Fifth Amendment at the inquiries being conducted by the committee of which I happen to be chairman for the moment, are known communists. And they're invoking the Fifth Amendment simply because they're unwilling to do the brave thing that many other people have done, namely to answer questions.
Well, Congressman, I might accept your figures and still argue that I think the most basic American principle is that we don't believe that one innocent man should get hurt, even though we might be punishing a lot of guilty people. And what concerns me most is what I think is too sweeping a sense in the country that it doesn't really matter if a couple of innocents get hurt because, after all, we're going to catch a lot of guilty people. And I asked you to state your position on this partly in terms of this resolution, because I think this union resolution is a statement that anyone invoking the constitutional privilege shall lose his right to work. And I say there may be only one person who is innocently wronged by that, but I think we worry about that one person in America.
Yes, we do, and I do, because for many years I was very actively engaged in the practice of the law, and I jealously guarded all of the rights of the people as I see them. But don't forget this. that you are confusing a congressional inquiry with a trial. You continue to confuse this with a trial. Actually, we are merely determined to find out just exactly what these people who were part of this conspiracy did in furtherance of the conspiracy, so that the American people can be on the alert, so that they can be on their guard, so that they won't contribute large sums of money out of the goodness of their hearts to causes that are not Simon
pure. I'm sure that as a lawyer you believe that. The trouble is that too many people are non-lawyers and have accepted the principle that the mere invocation of the Fifth Amendment shall be grounds for total blacklisting. And I think that is one of the areas of concern in this, that you recognize, and I think you've agreed, that there can be situations that there is no automatic proof of guilt involved in the invocation of the amendment, but when this theatrical union adopts the automatic principle that anyone who invokes the amendment shall in effect be driven from the profession, then I say we've lost the meaning of the amendment.
Well, theoretically, you're right, and it seems to me that in order to avoid any criticism of that sort from any source whatsoever, it might have been better for the union to have said that if you invoke the Fifth Amendment and if the information the Committee on Un-American Activities has is not correct, then you will be you will lose your position.
Well, I think that would be a very important modification.
Congressman, would you then go on record on this program to the effect that you would be, as it stands now, against the union resolution?
Well, I'd like to see the resolution. I'd like to know what caused them to adopt it. I'd like to know a great many things.
Well, the cause is your committee's investigation.
Well, but I'd like to know what they had in mind.
Well,
I'm not going to criticize.
It isn't my argument here that what they had in mind was the sense of apprehension created, I think, in important measure by the impact of congressional inquiry. And I think, again, that I wish somehow you would get back to my first question, which was, what is the scope? Do you believe that your committee at this moment has the right to call anyone in the United States who is alleged to have been in any way at any time in the past linked with the communist movement?
Yes, I'll go even farther than that. I am sure that the Congress imposed upon us the obligation to call anybody who, in our judgment, can throw some light on this international conspiracy insofar as it affects the security of the United States.
Well, then you could keep going for a long time.
Mr. Wexler, let's just turn it for a second to you and ask you, what limitations would you put on the House Un-American Activities Committee?
Well, sir, my basic difference, and I think it's clear, is that as far as domestic communism is concerned, I believe that it has been discredited, that it's on the run. I think, if I may say so, sir, that it was the CIO and other good American institutions which routed communism on a very democratic battlefield. I think the domestic problem is that of espionage and sabotage, and I see no light thrown on that by the kind of discoveries that in the movie or theater industry that we're about to get. I think that we have the information. Our real problem is whether, as a free society, we cannot permit the continued luxury of public communist activity as distinct from this underground operation. And that's a matter for our intelligence agencies, whether when we seem to be deadly afraid of communist propaganda, we aren't making ourselves a joke in the world and losing the great weapon we have in the world, which is freedom and the very real faith in freedom that I think most Americans have.
Well, from all of my travels in Europe, and I have been on the continent on numerous occasions, officially and otherwise, I am thoroughly convinced that just the opposite is true, that if we relaxed our vigilance, we would become the laughingstock of the world, because those people have lived too close to the kind of conquests that the communists have made all over. And the fact that we are diligent in watching these people and preventing them from growing, I think brings to us much more respect than we lose through the idea that maybe we're afraid. The people in this world know that we're not afraid, but they also know that we're practical, and that as practical people, we're going to see to it that the same thing doesn't happen here that happened in 19 other countries. Why, if it hadn't been for these committees, the people in America wouldn't have been aware that there was such a thing as conspiracy in the United States?
Congressman, in the Newspaper Guild, we were fighting the communists 15 years ago. We fought them and we defeated them. And it was only a month ago that a Senate committee caught up with that news. And I really don't think it added very much to our knowledge on the point. I think it may have, however, created some very real issues as to whether newspaper men should be questioned about stories they wrote under Army censorship.
Well, perhaps a few people in the newspaper business had come forward with all the information that you had, maybe the Senate committee wouldn't have called you. I don't know. But it may be that that's the fact.
I'm saying only that I think that as far as the newspaper profession is concerned, this fight was waged long before any congressional committees got into the field. But I submit that it was waged in what I think is the best democratic way, which was, and I don't really believe that we are in anything approaching clear and present danger from our 24,000 domestic
We have one clear and present danger, and that is that the time is up. So, gentlemen, I want to thank you very much for participating in today's forum. You took care of the air conditioning for us in good shape. I'd like to thank our guests very much, Representative Francis E. Walter, Democrat of Pennsylvania and Chairman of the House Un-American Activities Committee, and Mr. James A. Wexler, Editor of the New York Post.